Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and joining me tonight is...
It's Dave Morris.
Hi Dave, long time no see.
Yes, it seems like a week since I last saw you.
Indeed. For those of you who don't know, Dave and I were at FOSDEM 2014 and it was fantastic.
It was great, yeah. Amazing event.
Anyway, those of you joining HPR for the first time, this is a once-a-month show that we do to kind of go around what news has been happening in the HPR community in the last month. And as usual, we introduce the new hosts that have uploaded shows in that intervening period. And as usual, I try and get somebody else to do it. So today, Dave, I'm afraid that's you.
Oh, gosh. Yes, since the last recording, we've had Mirwi. I want to say that in a strange foreign accent. Sorry about that. Mirwi, Cyan, Tojet, J.A. Mathis, and Bill M.I. Bill in Michigan, I think that is.
Ah, yes. Could be, yes. Good.
Yeah, he appears on, or at least he's in the chat for Mintcast. I often hear his name there.
Ah, good. So, today what we normally start off doing is reviewing some of the shows that happened in the previous month, but we just want to rewind a little bit earlier than that to talk about Nido Media shows, which kind of got overshadowed in the period of December because of they were that week straddled 2013, 2014, and we had lots of stuff going on. So his first one was Pirate Parties, which he had a little bit of a coup, actually. He went around OHM 2013 in the Netherlands and gathered up all the members of the Pirate Party that were there and opened a very interesting discussion, which I think we discussed this already. The bit of a shock to everybody about the hoops you have to go through to get a political party going in the Netherlands.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed... Sorry, go ahead.
On the other hand, there are loads and loads of political parties in the Netherlands, so there are probably a few more wouldn't be limiting the number is probably what they're trying to do.
Yeah, we've had odd bunch like the Monster Raving Loony Party in Britain, which is just, you know, like a joke, really, I think. But the Pirate Party, although it sounds jokey, is very serious. I think it's a... I thought Nido did a fantastic job, and the people talking there had some amazing things to say.
Yeah,
maybe rethink
nice,
the. I was going to say, made me rethink my attitude towards these guys and politics in general. I think.
Yeah, always a good one. I think the people on HPR shouldn't veer away from doing the political shows. That was one of the founding. The founding principles of HPR. If you don't particularly agree with the Pirate Party or whatever, feel free to send in a show of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See how I did.
More shows.
And the following day we had another one from OHM, HPR Live, on loop, which was 14-12, Advancing Local Communities. And this was by the way, just in case people don't know, these were HPR shows broadcast live on FM in that region of the Netherlands. They got a broadcast license, and this was going out over FM. And I'm sure there are many turnip farmers down there that were very interested to hear what was going on at the big event up the road.
Yeah, good stuff. Was there something weird about the tent or something that Nido was broadcasting from? I know there was some tent collapse later on, but there was all sorts of strange noises off. What was that?
Yeah,
were you around?
Yeah, I was the following day, which was the Power DNS one, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. That what happened was it was very hot and there was a lot of wind and it was blowing the tent apart, essentially.
Okay.
And the creaking you heard was the wind blowing the aluminium frame or aluminum frame from side to side, creating all that noise, which was a bit unfortunate. But Yeah, and it was also a bit unfortunate. We were discussing, Power DNS with Bert Herbert, and to be honest, I could have gone talking to that guy for another hour or two without a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it kind
And
of
he
ends
was
at a, I want to
it
tell you
just
something important, and then.
yes, he was just starting a really interesting anecdote there. The day that I forget who the parties were now, but it was some famous names there, like John Postel or somebody like that. And then bam, the tent falls down.
Yes, it's all a government cover up, you know yourself. Then we had the operating the lights at OHM, and you really want to Google some of the, or not Google, do some image searches using your favorite search engine of choice to have a look at some of the lighting. It was actually fantastic, the view.
Yeah, it sounded amazing. I haven't had a chance to do that search that you mentioned, but just from the description, it sounded some amazing amount of work had gone into it.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and they're also looking for advancing it so that a lot of open source software could be used in it. Unfortunately, there's still some proprietary stuff, but there you
Aye.
go. Then LibreOffice Ahuka, working with page styles, and this is actually cool. People, I don't think people use page styles half enough. They are very, very, very handy.
Yeah, I taught myself how to do that, but Ahuka's stuff is really fill. You know how when you teach yourself stuff, you just learn enough maybe to do the job at hand, and then you walk away and don't bother with it again. It's nice to hear somebody covering some of the stuff. Oh, can it do that as well? Oh, great.
And as I've said before, I'm fairly experienced with Office software, having supported it for longer than I care to admit. And yeah, so every time I hear his topics, I think, God, will I skip this one? And then, two minutes in, he's like, oh, and this, and then you go, right, okay. I don't know as much as I think I know about
No.
this topic.
Yep, that's the way of it.
And then 1416, the saga begins. That was the New Year show. My
What
wife
can I
is still
say?
not talking to me after this.
It was yes, a magnum opus if ever there was one.
And it's still not over. We have coming up now next week is all the or sorry is all the end after show stuff. So we'll be discussing that next month.
Yeah, I just started listening to the first of those.
So
What, 5 hours? Oh, yeah, go on.
I'll do a quick scan through what happened here. I don't know how I'm going to do this. There was loads of stuff. Sorry, we're just going to have to skip over all the New Year show. The New Year show was the New Year show. Let me see, R1. We were tired. Kids were on about microphones. We were talking about Linux distros. Then we went on to, I was talking about the Raspberry Pi. No, I can't do this. It's too painful to live in the memory.
No, I'm lost for words too. I didn't. It was just overwhelming, but amazingly good.
I
I
think
enjoyed them
they,
very much.
I think they, in fairness though, they breaking up, introducing the different time zones did, on one hand, it terminated good conversations, and on the other hand, it encourage other people to come in and talk.
The show notes too help a lot. I think that was a great addition this year, I think.
Absolutely, and it was done on Evernote, so that was actually fantastic. And you notice that, I mean, we have brilliant there's brilliant show notes there. People just filled in what they were talking about, and I missed that really with the subsequent after show because I had nothing to go on. Just this is part one of the after show, part two of the after show. So if anyone's listening to the after show and can make notes, then we can use those. Excuse me, we can use those to fill in the show notes.
Yes. That's a good undertaking,
Yeah, good luck with that.
yeah.
Okay, we'll skip all those, and thanking everybody again for all the work involved in it. And I'd actually like to hear people's comments back on the New Year show. Is that something that we should continue to try and do? And I know when I was talking to people at FOSDEM, they couldn't believe that we did that. so that was quite funny.
Oh yeah. I tell the only note I've got here against it, because I do keep notes on these things just so I got something to say if I join in the community news, was on the part three. That somebody came up with the idea of listing interesting packages, that interesting applications and stuff that they recommended, and I thought that was really good. The fact they were also noted down was excellent.
Indeed,
1418.
Exactly. That was pretty cool as well. Now, I really thought the show notes really added to it. Mm-hmm. And can somebody remind me next year that after we stop the recording, just before we stop the recording, say what time it is, and as soon as you start the recording again, say what time it is in UTC. That would really, really help editing.
Yes.
Note to yourself. But other than that, it went quite swimmingly as well.
Good.
Okay, then we had a hookah with statistics and polling, which I really liked because this reminded me of some of the statistical stuff that I slept through in college. It was nice to actually to sit down and rehear a, you know, a class from college and have life experience to know why that's important, you know.
Yeah, same here really. I did statistics at uni and never really understood it, but it's made more sense as I've got older, I think, slightly.
Well, yeah, it's used so many places that it's important to for your BS detector to be able to go, okay, what do I need to look at here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, the following day was C-Prompt, Curtis Atkins, with setting up and using SSH and socks. Brilliant, 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 brilliant episode.
Absolutely, yeah. I find I've started putting HBR shows in a listen again queue, and this is right in there. When the hell am I going to listen to him? I don't know, but definitely going to get a re-listen.
None of this. I did a show way back when on, and this was kind of covered in it, except mine. Instead of using the dash D option, instead of using the built-in proxy at the time, I used a Squid proxy for one reason or another. I actually needed. I sometimes use it to look at APIs for some of the various different apps that I'm using. What API calls that are. They're making as well. So in that case, I already had a SOX proxy working. But this is handy for anybody who wants to use SSH to get out on the internet. And I know his example was getting out from work. So just one warning is that you need to be sure that your work allows this sort of stuff. So be careful. But I have used this for work where a machine inside various different levels of firewalls needed to get a package from the internet or something, then you can do a SSH proxy like this through to be able to do that sort of thing. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. Cool.
Then CT catches us in the act. Monty, the man behind your databases. Very, very, very cool snag interview for us here on HBR.
Yeah, very professionally done, I thought.
Yeah, perfectly. I love his show notes. Every time he sends them in, it's like everything is perfect and filled in properly and not too much stuff and stuff, so he has it down. Just in case you don't know, he's got his own podcast as well, so it's aiit.se/radio. If you're looking for that as well.
Yeah. He does mention it occasionally. I hear some of his HBR shows he's mentioned it, I know.
But good stuff. Excellent. Really enjoyed that one as well. Then we had OHM Live Mini, Censorship and Hacking in the Netherlands. So this was Breno. he hijacked Breno on one of his shows to talk about hacking and stuff around. And this, you know, they're talking about it in the they were talking about how big an impact it was. But I know Breno as well. He was in the local Lug, and at the time, every newspaper, every news show was on about this. And then when you come into work, the guys were going, "Hey, have you heard of this? Have you heard of this?" And we're all on Deal Extreme getting, well, we weren't, they were on Deal Extreme buying these card readers and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah.
It had a significant impact.
Yes. I wasn't sure how to react to this because there were aspects of this that made me so angry, and other bits made me feel so sad that you know, bureaucracy does these things to people. It's really quite an emotional ride, I thought, listening to this.
Yeah, I think it's a. I think we're in a period of you know, we have a period of balance. You know, people don't understand technology, and I think. You know, people have been using the excuse, "Oh, we don't understand technology, so we don't need to take notice of it." But I'm not taking that excuse from anyone anymore. Everybody has computers, and everybody needs to know like the basics of what's going on in the world. And I've been talking to some people since this episode, you know, on the train and stuff about it. And people are very aware of where the information has been, a lot more aware of the privacy and the, you know, I don't think they're as gullible about it as they would have been years before. They seem more knowledgeable on the subject.
Yeah. So gradually, something will change. It will change this. The message will get through. Oh, the old geezers who don't understand this stuff will fall off.
Well, and, I don't know. Is it that they don't understand it, Dave, or is it that they're taking advantage of the fact that most people don't comprehend it?
I don't know.
So you don't think that the metro, the already, apparently, and this is unsubstantiated, I was just told it by a random... you know, ticket inspector on the train, that they sell off the information to the public Oyster card, or the equivalent to the Oyster card in the Netherlands. They sell that off to marketing companies to know how many people come into the train stations at particular times of day.
Yeah. There will be data protection laws in the Netherlands, as there are in the UK, I'm sure, that should be controlling that sort of stuff, isn't it? I mean, is it the fact that it's not personal information but is merely numbers
that
allows it to happen? Yeah. But in some cases, you can determine the personal information by doing the clever statistics on the data that you have.
Yeah,
you know, and anonymizing is not as simple as people think.
Exactly. Yeah, there been the AOL thing where they released the anonymized data, and then they were able to go back and find out, you know, from people, which was unfortunate. The guys got sacked for that. I think their hearts were in the right places for releasing it. But some clever researchers went back and were able to determine the algorithm, and were basically able to out a lot of people. So there you go. Anyway, enough about that. The following day was LibreOffice writer frames, which clarified frames to me were the most frustrating thing to find in the document, so this helped a lot.
Absolutely agree. That's just what I wrote down here. I've used frames and always wanted to do more with them and never been completely able to do it. And this really shed lots of light on how to do things with frames. Amazingly powerful feature. So, great, fantastic. And we're going to go and do things with frames as soon as I get a moment.
Then we had David Whitman, who visited Readloo, which is a recycling electronics Linux user for education. This is nice because Ken, I've been following Ken's blog for years, and it was really nice for him to catch up. And as he mentioned, Ken didn't really want to come on himself. So this was a very nice review without putting... his friend into the I don't know uncomfortable position of coming on the show. So it was really nice.
No, I thought that was great. And the way that David Whitman did his report, I thought was great. It's a really nice sort of casual, informal chat about what had happened. I have heard Ken on I think he's visited Mintcast. Is it Mintcast he's been on and spoken about what he's been doing?
He's definitely been on Tilts quite a few times.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Good blow. He seems to be doing really, really fantastic stuff.
And the next day we had Decoding HPR 1216, The Easy Way, and a bit more. This was cool and many of
This is just amazing. I just feel so stupid. I never would have thought to do this. I don't know why. Go on, sorry.
Sorry, just to let people know, just in case they didn't hear, for April Fool's, we have a tradition of doing an April Fool's thing every year since HPR started. It's something wacky, and this year I did one. I just did a Wikipedia article on and converted that to Morse code and just put it out. And since then we had Too Clever for Your Own Good, 1343 and 1216, two additional episodes on this. So it's been very good. This one was pretty cool because I'm actually trying to study for my ham radio license. Mm-hmm. And not that CW is part of that anymore, but it's still pretty cool. But it's also handy for the New Year show, as that whole way to use Pulse Audio controls to do a looping. That was interesting for me as well.
Yes, yes. That's definitely one of my listen again and mess around with FL Digi list.
Indeed. And then another, I think, a by SETI, another, what do you call that when... What do the newspaper guys call it when you get an interview?
Scoop, you mean? Something like that.
Another scoop. Thank you, yes. Another scoop. Yes. I like his show notes he has. We're actually working on Linux support. Pause. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
Yes.
So that's pretty good. I'm not into gaming myself, but it's nice to see people working on it and them talking.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I'm not a gamer, but it was interesting to hear.
And then our two favorite people listening on the chat type conversations is Honky Magoo and Kevin Wisher discussing Debian sources.list files. And sorry to Honky for putting that out without the... some reason I just forgot in the copying and pasting over that to add some of the show notes, but I got that sorted in the end, so there you go, that's it. I do actually do some this app pinning work. It's pretty cool if you do need to get a Debian package from testing or SID.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. I didn't know you could do that. I've not been a Debian user, although I've just installed it on the machine I built over Christmas, and so I'm off to, as soon as I get a moment, to check that all out and learn how to do it properly. So I should be listening again.
Yep. There's one thing about pinning that you need to be aware of is if you do a distro upgrade, it will upgrade all the packages to the current release. If you do a pinning and you set the priority of the current release higher than the other ones, when you do an upgrade, you'll need to reinstall the packages that you took from the higher repos. But then again, sometimes if you do a distro upgrade, you've already got it from the higher repos, so there's no need to.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
I digress. Yes, the best of YouTube download script. This is something, not the best of YouTube download script, but this is something I'd like people to, to send in. It was started by, I didn't start it, it was started by, who was it? Oh, the name escapes me. Sorry, people, I'm very, very tired. A while back. Can you remember his name? Let me just check. Sending in bash scripts and, little tips and tricks. Anyway, name escapes me.
No.
I'll think.
Can't think.
Yeah, sorry about that. Everybody's screaming at the microphone. Probably I will be when I hear it as well. So there's been a few comments to this. Dave, you sent in a comment as well about this.
Yes, I was just sort of teasing you slightly at as ways of different ways of doing loops with an iterating value. There are many ways of doing it in Bash.
Yeah, but you were saying there's a good reason for doing that.
You used C. I was just looking for it. I can't find it because I've shut down my mail client. Because it was interrupting me. You used the seek command, SEQ command, which is a way of generating a sequence of numbers. But Bash contains a feature for doing that already. And the pipeline that you had built had two or more processes in it, because each individual element between the pipes produces an independent process. And I tend not to do that because I used to work on systems way back in the day, which at that time seemed, wow, we've got really powerful workstations on our desk, but now they look incredibly powerless. And we were using them as multi-user systems, and we had piles of students in there, you know, like 50, 100 people in there trying to do stuff. And they were constantly running out of processes. So every script that you ran that needed to generate processes to make pipelines could fail because there weren't enough processes left on the system to complete the pipeline. So I tended to write scripts as a consequence of that that went for the maximum efficiency. So I tend not to do that. It's just, I mean, it's a daft thing in some ways because there's no constraint like that anymore unless you're running on a very, very tiny machine. But it's just something that's got ingrained. So that was my comment to you about this. I should have put it in the comments, actually. I tend not to use that comment facility. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you should do if you can. That would be...
I will add that because then it makes it more public.
And the exactly. There was also a mention that, which I didn't know, of course, was that sequence you can actually count down. Was Roan said that in sequence first increment last, so you can go seek 100 space minus 1 space 1, which is pretty cool actually.
Yep.
I don't know. I like sequence. It's clear to me what's going on when I go back after a while. But the whole point of this was, if you've got some hacks that, you know, it's empowering to have a little script to do something. And if you've got a few of those, why not share it with us? And I'll be first to admit this script is a bit rough.
But I don't think it is really, to be honest. I think it's absolutely fine for what you want it to do. It's clear. It's laid out nicely. It's easy to read. You put things in variables. To me, it looks fine. it's just irritating people who say, "Oh, I wouldn't do it that way if I were you," type of thing, that come in and make comments.
Yeah, I don't find that irritating. I find that, that's cool. That's another way of doing it, which is cool. Anyway, the following day, Talking 2014, NY Bill and Jezra. And you'll notice, Dave, you'll notice that these two guys made predictions last year and didn't put them in the show notes, and they made predictions this year and didn't put them in the show notes either.
Dear, that's terrible. I didn't notice that, actually, until you mentioned it. Yeah, yes.
Oh, yes, next year we'll expect a show now next year where it goes, yeah, we got them all right, our predictions were fine.
So I enjoyed that. That's good.
The next day was, I made an offhand comment in Fahrenheit during the New Year show, slagging off the Fahrenheit system, or I don't know, questioning the Fahrenheit system. And so Cyan gave me a buzz asking me to come on and do a chat about it. So I think that annoyed a lot of American listeners, which Donald was kind of miffed about it, and he did point me to a fact that it's based on the salt water saturation point of water. So I went and looked at what the U.S. Navy had to say, and they said the freezing point of water is 28.4 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 2 degrees centigrade. And then Wikipedia contradicts that. But my whole point is, I don't know why they arbitrarily picked 32 degrees. But the good news is somebody else is doing another show about it.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. I agree with you on the arbitrariness. I mean, when I was a kid, we were taught Fahrenheit because I'm old enough to have come from that era. And of course, we also had pounds, shillings, and pence before we decimalized our money. So I've been through a number of these changes, and centigrade seems to make a lot more sense. But it wasn't an easy transition. You know, you say, oh, it's a warm day today. Oh, yeah, it's 80 degrees. Yeah, wow, that's pretty hot. And what the hell is that in centigrade? I still struggle slightly. And all those ridiculous conversion things, 9 over 5 and minus 32 and all that stuff was a horrible thing for kids to have to play about with. But,
But I mean, Celsius is equally arbitrary. It's that you pick 0 at freezing and 100 at...
But it does seem a little more logical that somebody said, you know, that's bloody cold, given that the simple criteria for setting points are freezing point and boiling point at sea level, at, you know, the appropriate air pressure and so forth. So peg those as those points. That seems like a nice logical thing to do, as opposed to 32 and 212. And it also fits in. It keeps in step with the Kelvin scale as
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, but that came afterwards. So we can't.
Yeah.
No. And anyway, we're cutting in on other people's shows here.
Yeah.
So let's continue this conversation next month.
Next month, okay.
Although 5150 did a very good one. I'll just read the show notes, his comment. 0 Fahrenheit is really cold outside. 100 Fahrenheit is really hot outside. 0 Celsius is fairly cold outside. 100 degrees Celsius, you're dead. 0 Kelvin, you're dead. 100 Kelvin, you're dead.
Yes. Yes,
excellent.
Well, it's whatever you're used to, I think, in many ways. But, anyway, right.
Exactly, and okay, cool. Moving on. We want to. Although one thing I will say, I'm now considering insulting Americans more often, so that people will do retribution shows, and I'll get more shows in. So if you don't want me to criticize your country or whatever, then you better start sending in shows, guys, or I'll start getting desperate. Gun control.
Oh boy.
Thank you.
Oh boy.
Although we did we not have a few episodes about muskets, or did I hear that?
Yes. Somebody did something about that, muzzle loading guns and stuff.
That was of interest to hackers, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Ubuntu quickly ebook template. In this episode, Mike Hingley talks about Ubuntu's quick ebook template project, which is actually cool. This allows authors to put ebook style pubs books into the Ubuntu packaging system using PPAs.
Yeah. It's using this Quickly facility, Python Quickly facility, which I remember being discussed way back on, is it something like Log Radio or something?
No, you did an episode here in HPR about it. Oh, well, quickly. No, you're right.
Yeah.
That was on Log Radio, actually, I think.
Yeah, it was. I remember, because I played around with it and thought, oh, that's neat. That's a great way to... There's some Perl equivalents to that as well, actually. Anyway, that's another issue altogether.
Cool. So, the following day is why I made my account free Android. This was... pretty cool, actually, because I was recently I don't know what I did. I decided one day, oh, wouldn't it be a good day? Oh, I know what happened. I saw an article that said that CyanogenMod was ready for my model of phone, and it was my model of phone version, blah, every model except the actual model that I have. And I forgot to do a backup like the nutty I am, and then it was a disaster. A disaster. And then I had to reinstall everything. And unfortunately, this episode was uploaded afterwards, but it's pretty cool.
Yes, yeah, it was an interesting thing. The prospect of being somewhat more Google free is something I'd really like to achieve as well.
Yeah, I just prefer to keep the information, you know, under my own backup, under my own control. More from about. Here's an interesting thing, and I think it was mentioned on the New Year show as well, that, you can find everything on the internet, you know, every file is available on the internet. And my experience has been lately, no, that's not true. You can find references to every file on the internet, but the actual files are invariably pointing back to one single location. And this makes it very easy for people to, you know, either intentionally or unintentionally take that file off the internet. And it's not available anywhere anymore. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Yes, yes, yes. It's very frustrating if you're particularly looking for a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. A site goes down. And this has happened to many projects. For example, I think everybody remembers the Gentoo wiki when that went down.
Mm-hmm.
People, there was no copy of the thing. It was on one server and that was it.
Yay. Nasty. Yeah.
So I would, and you know, to say, okay, Google has a copy of it, and the Googleverse is everywhere. But you know, they have a three location policy as well, so they have it in three different places, and they have it on three backup servers. But that's only six places. You know, I would prefer that it might possibly be. I would prefer to have my own backup strategy where I know where it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, very much so. No, there's some great ideas there. I really want to go and do some of those things. Go on, sorry.
No, I have nothing more.
I was looking at one of the things that really annoys me. I'm a recent convert to smartphones. Only got a smartphone a few months ago, and I really dislike the Google, whatever you call it, the people thing or whatever, the contact thing. I'd really like to have something based around something that I control. And being a bit of an LDAP freak back in my work experience, I would like to have something based around an LDAP structure, which I controlled. So I'd really like to build something like that. And it sounded like there are lots of possibilities in that direction.
That seems actually pretty cool because I have loads of contacts everywhere, and I don't particularly need that information to be given to anybody. I don't need my parents, who have never been on the internet, phone number out there for everybody to see, or date of birth. It's just information that nobody other than my family needs to know, thank you.
Yep, exactly.
But it also gives you the option to go in and do your consolidation and not have things all over the place and be able to export V cards and all the rest of that.
Yep. Exactly so. Exactly. So yeah. I did have a chat with John Culp about this sometime last year with a view to put together a show about that subject. That not finished yet, but something so got stuck.
Not making a list at all.
I'm done a show this year. Yeah, unless this one counts. But no, anyway, yes.
No, it doesn't. This is HBR community. The last show of the month was LibreOffice Writer Frames Properties Completed. And for those of you worried, Ahuka has sent in loads of new shows, and they are all available to view on the HBR website, but will be released in the fullness of time.
Cool. Yes. Good frames. Yes, yes, I enjoyed that. I didn't know you could chain them together. Didn't know that.
And the I didn't know. To be honest, I'm still not convinced that they're needed in this world.
No, it's yeah. I don't know. I when I set up my, I was a consultant for a while, and I tried to do a, you know, three panel brochure type thing, and I tried to do it using frames and could not get the text to flow between the panels and all that sort of stuff. And that was just because I'm an idiot, probably. But I'm sure if I'd understood frames better, I could have done a better job of it.
Okay. Let's have a look at the news. And you can find this at... actually, I did some business cards for Fosdem. They actually went down quite well, I think. A bit cluttered, perhaps. But there
no,
you go.
I think they're good. They're good. I gave one to my son the other day who immediately scanned the... the thingy, whatchamacallit, code. What's it called?
QR code.
And said, yeah, it works. Yeah, fine. So,
yeah.
Validated.
So I put up shortcuts to everything. So if you do hackerpublicradio.org/feed, will bring you to the RSS feed. /IRC will bring you to a mail client or a web client for Freenode. Gmail will bring you to the mail archive. Mail list will bring you to subscribe to the mail list. There's a bug with the current mail list software. We can't get it archived, so it's now archived at Gmail anyway. So you can, the advantage of that is you can use a news reader to read, and I don't know if you can reply to. Somebody might want to try that. But anyway, you can read the mail list through that. /iTunes will bring you to iTunes. /Twitter, Google, and the plus sign. LinkedIn, all one word, lowercase, no spaces. Facebook, and archive.org. So all of those are there. And if we go to Gmail now, we see that the latest one was... I did a show swap. So Peter64 and Jonathan Nadeau just swapped a show, so that doesn't affect anybody except those guys. Dave talking about the community news. Freenode was down. Talked about us, about the Fosdem table. And David Whitman sent in Linux Northwest 2014 HPR table. I have had a table at HPR Linux Fest Northwest for at least 2 years. It was my intention to repeat this in 2014 to apply and promote the AFC and the Orca screen reader project in some way during the fest. So if you want to talk to him, he's going to be unable to attend this year. So if there's somebody else willing to come and help, please contact David Whitman or reply to that on the website. Kevin O'Brien sent in about the LibreOffice updates, that he's putting a brochure together for so that people going to FES can print off a little brochure that they can fold up for HPR Spiel. And the after show was still running. What date is this? 2nd of January at 8:50. That's it. That was pretty much all the threads for the new mailing list.
Cool.
And upcoming shows, we have John O'Bacon and Stuart Langwich talk to Pokey. There was Pokey went into great detail about how Jono corrupted Stuart, so they got into a bit of a tizzy about that, and we get another show about it. So the moral of the story is be controversial, folks, and you'll get loads and loads of shows coming in. Then we have Jonathan coming up with the Google Summer of Code. Want to tell you about that right now, if I may. And the mentoring organization application deadline is coming up at the end of next week, so February the 14th. That's going to close at between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're a mentor for the Google, if you want to be a mentor for the Google Summer of Code, you need to get your act together ASAP. Link will be in the show notes. So if you go to show notes for this episode, or actually, there's no point. By the time this episode is out, it'll be long gone. You're too late. Too late, suckers. Okay, enough about that. No point talking about it. Then we have Fahrenheit 0 to 100, which is Bill in MI. Interesting to hear what that's going to be about. Then we have AJA Mattis, What is Firefox OS? 22 in the series on LibreOffice Writer Other Frame Styles. Following week, we have an interview with the F123 group, which is a discussion that came up. It's a project, an accessibility project, and I was put in touch with them by the lead developer of the Orca project. Then we have the first of the FOSDEM interviews, in which I get an interview with the FOSDEM volunteers, the OS Geo project, GeoMayas, OpenStreetMap, Libre Graphics Magazine, OpenSUSE, the Debian Project, Helen OS, and CA Cert. Then the following day we have Intro to Cable Cutting by Tracy Holster, time-lapse video by Peter64. Thank you again, Peter, for allowing us to swap. My Mobile Digital Life by Nightwise, and this one I took out of the backup queue. I also took out some of my shows from the backup queue as well and put them in because we have plenty, I think. We still have 12 backup shows. Then the next one was a interview with Jeremy Allison from the Samba Project. I just put that out as a separate show because it's completely... We go into great detail. I thought, hey, why not? Then the following day, we're going to have an interview, FOSDEM, where I interview the Thor Project, a free software user group inside the European Parliament. Jonathan Riddell from the KDE Project. He's the lead project lead on Kubuntu. Mozilla. I talked to the project, Brian King, European Community Builder from Mozilla. Tobias Mueller, who's on the board of directors of the GNOME project. We talked to Jim Perrins, who's the governing board member of the CentOS project. Then we talked to two guys about Foreman, Overt, and OpenStack from Red Hat. And then we have Jim Ernstman and Yarkoslav, who are the Fedora Ambassador Steering Committee, and also Fedora program manager. So that's that. Continuing on, we will have several, and then there's another series of interviews which I haven't posted yet, but we'll do shortly. And then some LibreOffice and some more Nightmice stuff and learning to read the clock.
Good.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes, your FOSDEM coverage is amazing, I have to say.
It was.
No wonder you're tired. I imagine you'd need to sleep for about a week after that.
I was a bit tired, yes, and the editing has been... Well, now, you know how much editing I do, chopping off the top, front and the back, but there was so many good interviews there with people that you're talking... You know, you're actually talking to project maintainers or founders of the projects or whatever, and it's just very, very difficult not to continue talking to them. So, yeah.
Good. Oh, I see you have a photograph here of your interview with Jeremy Allison.
Yes,
I thought where you got that from.
Yeah. I got blackmailed by certain members of the HBR community.
Good. Well, glad it's useful.
Well, thanks, Dave, for that. And yes, as all, and again, as I was recording that, you'll see me in the picture. I'm holding up my Zoom H2, and for some reason, the recording went, and I resorted to the backup. But actually, it doesn't come out that bad. So, any audio is better than no audio, as we say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, your backup technique is very impressive. I've got a lot to learn there.
Yeah,
having fallen down a similar hole, and I tried to record a show yesterday. But anyway, that's another story.
It happens to the best of us, Dave. Happens to the
mm-hmm.
best of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some stickers and stuff from FOSDEM if there are people who want to do stickers. There were some other people who talked to us, some really cool people on the sideline. And I think if there was any way that we could get a booth at FOSDEM, that would be fantastic, but you would need at least three people full-time there on the booth.
Yeah, Yeah, they stipulate there must be two people at all time, don't they? I think the FOSDEM management.
I thought that was like a by the by thing, but once you go there was never a moment where there wasn't at least, a queue at every table talking to everybody. It
Oh,
was,
absolutely. No, it's mobbed. Absolutely mobbed. Every part of it.
and that,
5,000.
yeah,
There's
there
a
was,
5,000 plus geeks there.
yeah, they're all
Great.
like project leads and stuff, so they're not
No, these are powerful people, developers. Yeah.
So I haven't seen any of the videos yet. The links to all the FOSDEM videos are in the show notes as well for this. So pretty cool, pretty cool. I would love to go. I would love to go there maybe as a in cooperation with I know Crunchbang Linux, where we were thinking about going with Core Nominal over and sharing a booth. And I'd love to get somebody to come over as well and do, help us with the Accessible Computing Foundation. There were lots of people who had, there were three people at a table, but there was three different projects at the table. So that might be a way to get a table in as well.
Good.
That's it, Dave. Are we finished?
Yep, haven't got anything else to add, I don't think.
Okay, shall we sing the free software song now or later?
Preferably offline, I think, Ken. Preferably off.
Fair enough. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening and tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public.
Radio! Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.